Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Chicago-based jazz guitarist Tim Fitzgerald. Fresh off a trip and gig in Alaska, he opened up about his long journey to making his new 2022 CD, Tim Fitzgerald's Full House. The band is a seven-piece, three-horn ensemble inspired by the music of the jazz great Wes Montgomery. The band was born out of Fitzgerald's love for and exploration of Wes Montgomery's music. Over the years, he's played all over the place, from Chicago's premier Green Mill to the Luxor in Las Vegas, and from New York City to Homer, Alaska. He's got great stories. Enjoy this interview.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing? Can you hear me okay? My things are just connecting.
It was weird in the beginning, but I made it out. It was Morse code. So you just came in from Alaska, huh?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Could you see Russia from there?
Well, it's funny you mention that because I'm now an expert on international relations. Because I saw it from my backyard. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, we love Alaska so much. I actually go up there with my quartet. We've been a few times. We play it's actually a fundraiser for a great organization in this little town of Homer called Homer Seniors. And then they get us up there and we play the fundraiser and then we do a few other little things. And we see mountains and moose. We've seen some bear. It's pretty incredible. And, I love Chicago, but we don't have mountains, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But what a cool getaway to go to Alaska, of all places.
Oh,
it's
amazing. Yeah. I mean, this is music for us in a lot of ways. We're so lucky.
Absolutely.
We have this. And I don't want to get corny about it or try and wax philosophical, but I mean the people that came before us, like, it was such a hard life, took so much courage, and they played such amazing music under these incredible circumstances, and for us to have that legacy, to get to play, just to get to be a part of this music, we're just incredibly lucky. I mean, I love it so much.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off. First of all, thank you for responding and doing plugs for the show
and
being a part of it. And I was actually going to run your tune this week. I had a stint of Chicago songs, and then I decided that since we're going to interview, I'm going to hold off because I like to use quotes from our interview. So I'm going to profile you later. But thank you for taking time out. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. And thank you for playing it. I mean, for getting it out there. I mean, this is a long-term project, and the fact that it's seeing the light of day now, I am thrilled. And so I thank you for listening. I'm curious what you're going to play.
I'm actually going to play Fried Pies. That was my pick.
Yes, awesome. I love it.
Yeah, so yes. Before we get into Tim Fitzgerald's Full House, we went through quite a time with COVID. How did you survive it, and how did it change you?
Wow. Yeah. Well, it was interesting for me. I was lucky in Chicago here. They did have good support for us in terms of making the rent, making the mortgage. Most of us were able to tap into our had the temporary unemployment. And then also those of us who lived in certain neighborhoods, we could get some grants. And there were some. So between that, the wolf was... Maybe it was at the door, but it wasn't coming in. So we were luckily in that way, and not everybody, of course. I was very worried about a lot of my friends, but a lot of us were able to keep everything, keep the lights on that way. And then what was really interesting for me, though, okay, now I'm home. There are no gigs. And it was really interesting to see how life developed that way. And for me, I actually connected with my old mentor. I had taken lessons with guitarist Ronnie Jones in New York when I lived there in the 90s. And I reconnected with him right at the beginning of the pandemic. And quick side note, I had done a Wes Montgomery book years ago. That actually was the beginning of all this, beginning of the book and the band. And it was a transcription of Wes Montgomery on film. And that was kind of the hook of the book, Of course, there are many transcription books out there, but no one had done a transcription of what he played on film. And a lot of times, the film doesn't lie. You know, there's a question about the fingering. Is he running up the B string? Is it a question of the upstroke, the downstroke, thumb? And Rodney, who was the first one who had really brought me into the world of Wes in terms of Wes's physicality. I already loved Wes, but Rodney really opened up what Wes was doing physically on the guitar for me. And that became the book. And then I reconnected with Rodney and showed him the book. He didn't know about it. And Rodney's teaching a bunch of classes online. And I started to, he asked me to transcribe the, I offered and he accepted to start to put the books to, put his classes to books. And so now here I am with the pandemic, no gigs, but plenty of time. And I just all day, every day, I'd wake up and transcribe, work on Rodney's material, work on these books. And it was an amazing experience to have the hours to be able to work so hard all day. And then at 7 p.m., have been writing all day, literally to put it down, have some dinner, relax, go to bed, like not go out to gigs, and wake up and do it again. And so it was really an incredible lockdown year for me. We ended up getting 3 books done that eventually will be on Mel Bay. I think they're doing, I'm not sure where they are with it right now, graphic design, I think. But when I came out of that, I was learning the whole time that I was writing and transcribing, and I came out a stronger player. And then when as things opened up a little bit, we were able to jump right back in, and I could finish the record, which we had started pre-lockdown. So, I think everyone's got a different lockdown story. I'm definitely on the lucky side of things in that way. I had the opportunity to really dive deeply in and really practice and study like I hadn't studied possibly ever before.
So you said this was a long, incredible journey for this album. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, okay. So I started the book. The book's been out for quite a while, over 10 years now. But in 2015, we had the idea to, why don't I put some of this material, but play it live? And not just the material, but to take the material and try and expand on it and do something with it for ourselves. So what I did is started to arrange some of Wes's chord solos. And for those, I'm sure you know, of course, but for anyone listening that might not know, Wes Montgomery, there's so many special things about Wes. One of them is that he would play these incredible 4-note chord solos. Very melodic, powerful, swinging, so clever, just the best, and very hard to do, very hard to come up with, very hard to execute. And of course, he was coming up with them on the spot, just such a genius. But I just had the idea to take some of those solos and arrange them for horns. So instead of just the 4 notes on the guitar, it would be 3 horns and me. And so that we started doing that in 2015, and arranged some of Wes's classic tunes and arranged the heads, and then we call them solis, where the whole where the horns and I will play a Wes chord solo. We'll play that together, and that was in 2015. We had some nice gigs right away. We played the Chicago Jazz Fest in 2017. 2019, we finally recorded. Got most of the way done. Then, of course, the pandemic. We ended up getting a grant from the city of Chicago, an individual artist grant from the Department of, from DCASE, which is the Department of, Cultural Affairs and Special Events. And that helped us finish so that when the lockdown ended, went and finished the record. And finally, we got it to our label, which is Cellar Live. And we finally got it out. So it's, in a sense, the music for this really for me started when I started the book almost 15, 20 years ago. But then now, and then of course this band, it's been about 7 years. So it's been a long process.
Absolutely. So talk to me about your journey in music. You are originally from Chicago, correct?
Yes. Born in the D.C. area, but yeah, I grew up here in Chicago, actually just outside in Oak Park, Oak Park River Forest. But I'm a late starter to this music, actually. I was obsessed with the music through my younger years, but I wasn't playing too much. I went to Princeton of all places, and I was in the physics department. Well, that's where they started. I was studying physics. I knew it wasn't my gift at all. I was a much better writer than I was scientist. So I thought maybe I'd be a science journalist, you know, because of course, journalism, musician, I go for the big bucks all the time. But I knew once I was there, it wasn't right. And I didn't know what I didn't know, but I did know I had to get close to this music, and I actually ended up leaving school, coming back to Chicago, and got some jobs. And I started taking some lessons and trying to figure out how to play this music. I had listened so much. I listened obsessively, but I couldn't play at all. And so I was quite a bit behind in my 20s, that's for sure. But then coming back to Chicago, it's been great for me. There's I did go out to New York, and that's where I connected with Rodney Jones. I was lucky enough to study with Barry Harris. I took Barry Harris's class, which was just life-changing as far as getting close to this music. And moved back to Chicago. And it's been a great place for me because, well, for a lot of reasons, but I've been able to work here. I came back, I was in the 90s, so what am I, 25, 30? Yeah, 20, over 20 years back in Chicago, working, gigging, turning things over. And it's really great. I mean, it's, in a lot of ways, there's no better way to learn than by doing. You know, and I'm lucky because Chicago's given me that opportunity to just do for decades.
What do you like the best about this process of being a professional musician?
Wow, what a great question. You know, I think the most, there are a few things that really jump out with that. And one is, you know, big picture, it's connection. You know, when you're making music with your friends, with your peers, and you're listening, you're in the moment, and we're creating together, and we're supporting each other. It's just, I mean, it's bliss, it's heaven. Whether it's at a concert, which is, you know, I love concerts, we do a bunch of them, or it could be a, you know, background gig, I certainly do a lot of those, if we're really listening to each other and creating, and then, or just playing a session. Just for ourselves, not even a rehearsal, nothing specifically in mind. Let's just get together and create. That's the best. I love that so much. Likewise, I feel this. I feel this great debt to everyone that came before us. You know, the men who, you know, originated this music, men and women. It's, you know, everything we can do to kind of connect with what they did. And to do our things, to do our thing based on what they laid down. That's it. Yeah. So I suppose it is connection, both with my people we're playing and also looking backwards. So it's looking backwards and forwards and just connecting.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Wow. Wow. Oh, we're going there.
Oh, yeah.
Good
this
morning.
This is a therapy question. Yes.
You know, it's really interesting. For a long time, especially as a late start, the identity was really tied in musician for me. It was like, if you had to, who are you? Musician. Musician would be first, always. I would say that for years and years because it was so important for me to get there. And it's one thing has changed. Even though I play more than ever, it's the relationships now that come before this particular passion. And so I would say, you know, who am I? I'm a friend and a son. These are first. I'm a confidant, you know. I'm there for my friends. I'm there for my family. And that would be probably first. Musician's there. It's certainly there, but I think it's sort of what I do and what I love. And certainly it is a huge part of me, but it's not everything anymore. And I think that's a positive thing. Even though I spend more time than ever playing music, I'm having more fun than ever playing music, but it's not my only identity.
Right on.
Great question.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, man, hey, thank you. I really wanted to just kind of get into you and how you roll and the album, and this has been wonderful, man. I appreciate you opening up. I look forward to profiling you on the show, man.
I am so lucky that you called, and thank you. I'm so happy to be on Neon Jazz.
Thanks for tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Tim for his time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.